Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Number four.
Playing number four, Liverpool or Southampton. Liverpool are the eight-time winners, so potentially we have a Man United-Liverpool tie. Thanks
what
for that, David.
Yeah, nice.
Garnacho! Big save, where's it going to land? In the back of the net! That's where! And Manchester United have the lead in the FA Cup quarter-final! What a moment! At the scoreboard end!
Nunez, terrific stop. Salah, 2-1. Two goals in 3 minutes have stunned Old Trafford. Anthony. Oh, he squeezed it in! The Brazilian with the equaliser. With less than 4 minutes to go. Elliott deflected it in. Liverpool back in front.
Go on!
United saving.
We just have this flame inside that we just wanna wake up
comes
again.
In. McTominay heads away. It still falls to Elliott. Ahmed wins it back, and United are 2-1. It's Garnacho. He has Ahmed to his left.
And there are 2-1 in Manchester United's favour. Garnacho to Ahmed.
He finds Ahmed. It's Ahmed Diallo for United. Ahmed Diallo has won the game. One of the most incredible games of football you are ever likely to see. And the theatre of dreams has erupted.
And the game reaction, fuck me, what the fuck have I just seen?
I can't believe what I've just seen.
It's probably the best moment at Old Trafford for me, my opinion. Really seeing the fans, I saw a lot of people crying, I saw people showing the emotion, appreciating the effort that we put into the game. And this makes me think that it's why I come here. It's where every little kid dreams to play at Man United. When they have this special magic inside the stadium, I cannot describe it what it is. You just have to come here and watch a game. You can feel when once you're inside this stadium, and I never felt in any other place. That's why these fans are special. That's why this club is special.
One is Coventry City. They're the 1987 winners who won brilliantly against Wolves at Molineux yesterday. Coventry City, who will they play? Their first semi since then.
I'm not looking in the bag so people can't see.
Yeah. And they will play...
Number two.
They will play Manchester United. Coventry City against Manchester United.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Never will be. We go.
Jack, we're about 18 hours removed from full time of Manchester United 4, Liverpool 3. I had no words then. I didn't have any words for hours. I'm not sure I have any now. And my voice certainly doesn't have the ability to voice many of them anyway, other than to say that I think the best game of my life.
I was just about to say, is it 18 hours from the best moment of your football watching career?
Yeah, it could well be the raw noise. We've had some great games to talk about in the, nine seasons that we've been recording this. McTominay's winner against City for me, the sealer, 2-0, the final game before COVID, because all the context around it, but in terms of a raw noise of a celebration, a roar is right up there. The derby against City last year, with Rashford scoring the winner, was also fantastic. The win against Liverpool in August 2022 was brilliant. Barcelona was brilliant. I wasn't at PSG away, but I think for everyone, that has always been the kind of peak post Sir Alex victory, PSG away, even though United then went out in the next round. This has, absolutely topped the lot. I was coming out, I was walking over the Stretford End Bridge after, and I stayed in the ground for about 20 minutes just dancing, and with the knowledge that the longer we stayed in there, the longer the 9,000 Liverpool fans would have to be stuck there as well. And I was walking over the Stretford End Bridge, and I did pause to think, this is like, that's a game you wait a lifetime for. I was 8 or 9 when Michael Owen scored that winner against City. And if you compare these games, 4-3 again, but it's Liverpool, not City. So even better anyway. It's an FA Cup quarter final. There's something directly on the line. Liverpool are a better team than City were then. It's Klopp's final season. And it was United coming from behind rather than City coming from behind in that 4-3 with Owen. And it was in extra time, not normal time. It's just the most, it's got everything to make it, the best game. Do you think it's the best game of your lifetime?
Yeah, I wish I hadn't made this decision now, but I decided to watch it at home instead of go to the pub. And I've never celebrated a goal at home like I celebrated that last one. Like, watching at home, you never celebrate with quite the same intensity as you do when you're around other people also watching the game. But I was running around my living room screaming for about 5 minutes, and I was fully ready to do the same when Rashford went through on goal with the last kick at normal time as well. I think what made it all the emotion, like, even bigger for me anyway, I don't think I've ever been as high and as low within the same game. Because I'll be honest, for about 10 or 15 minutes in the middle of the second half, I was fuming watching the game, because we were so poor for a while. And Liverpool, it reminded me of, I think, was it the 2-0 loss against Man City at home a couple of years ago, when in the second half it felt like Man City basically just decided to take the second half off and we kind of just let them. And it felt like that for 10 or 15 minutes, from like 60 to 75 minutes or so. We couldn't lay a glove on Liverpool.
We played so well in the first half. Played so well.
I know.
For 40 minutes.
And that's why, like, you know, that that first half an hour, 35 minutes, you're so high because not only are you leading, but you're actually watching the United team play really, really well. Then you obviously get the two sucker punches before half time. And for pretty much the entire second half, we came out fine for all of about 2 or 3 minutes at the start of the second half, and then just faded. But I think because I was that low, it then made the high that came afterwards all the bigger.
That's what football's about. Yeah. It really was a sucker punch.
What was it like for you? Talk us through, because I'm sure everyone listening like me is incredibly jealous of you experiencing that in the stadium. Talk us through what it was like.
Yeah, well, we spoke in the preview. You go into this game hoping it can be one of those special Old Trafford days where the crowd drags the team over the line. And this was exactly that, where that raw noise drags a team of fighters to achieve something genuine, like incredible, like genuinely hardly believable. And it was that, and the atmosphere was brilliant. There was that excitement all around and a nervousness, and then the atmosphere at the start was fantastic. And we said United need to come out and start quickly and make sure that they can kind of ride that wave of noise and belief at Old Trafford. And we also said that it was a bit hard. I was a bit worried that particularly a flat start, particularly now, would dampen the Old Trafford atmosphere because of the season we've had. Whereas last season against Barcelona, we'd beaten City, we'd beaten Liverpool, we'd beaten Arsenal. There was all that foundational belief, and we've lacked that this season. So the way that we started was so important. And that first 40 minutes was just just fantastic. Talk about sucker punch, just disbelief to concede two goals in such a short amount of time, having been the dominant team and the better team. And the sense of kind of shock and dismay at halftime was, I stood there with my hands on my head for about 5 or 10 minutes. Just a silent halftime. Halftime's really weird at the game because it can feel very short if you're kind of celebrating or if you head down for a pint and you're all singing and enjoy, if you've just scored before the break or whatever, it can feel a very, very long time, 15 minutes, when you're sat there just basically in silence. And if it's been kind of 0-0, 1-1, or there's normally stuff to talk about, obviously, and there was stuff to talk about, but no one wanted to talk about it. We were just standing there in complete dismay. But you then come out, and yeah, you're right. The second half started well.
What was the atmosphere like at the start of the second half? Like, because like you said, United came out, played fairly well for the first like maybe 5 minutes or so. Did that re-engage the crowd? It was hard to tell watching it on TV because I was worried that the energy would just be sucked out of the stadium after that.
You always get a bit of a defiant kind of roar when the team come out for the second half. But yeah, I think had. And I know, as you're saying, it then faded for most of the second half and Liverpool dominated possession and the game and had a couple of chances that they should have put away. But that just first 2 minutes, I think Wan-Bissaka wins a corner.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, re-engaged the crowd. And then it does change everything because you have those first good 2 minutes and it means it did go quiet at times in the second half, a lot of nervousness, some frustration and disappointment. But there was always that kind of underlying sense of energy that had been restored after halftime by that quick start. It was still fairly, I think there was still belief there even while Liverpool were playing well because you could see the space there to counter-attack and you could see how United were fighting. And there was some fantastic defending at times. There were some really nice moments, a couple of missed chances. And then it just one of those indescribable and unexplainable. That just you often wonder, is it, are we talking rubbish when we talk about like the power of the Stretford end to suck the ball in? And it didn't happen in the end because Rashford misses the chance with the last kick of the game. We could get onto that. But when you then get the equaliser, it just feels like, yeah, we're going to win this. And that belief that surges through when you score in kind of the final 5 minutes from 85 minutes onwards is incredible. And at no point do you think we're going to lose from there in normal time. I thought we were going to win it in normal time from that point. When Rashford then misses, I thought, that's it. We're gassed. Yes, we haven't got anything more. And I thought Liverpool's superiority would show an extra time, but it didn't really actually. They got a lucky deflected goal at the end in extra time, but actually we played a lot better after that. And yeah, the sense of deflation when Rashford missed was, like, halftime was bad, but people were just speechless. Because you got for every goal, you get that beautiful kind of soundtrack of the intake of breath.
Yeah.
And then the pause, and then the beginnings of a roar, and then that guttural sound. And it was like we got so near, and then the record broke. And everyone just stopped. I think I basically fell to my knees. There was I was going up and down a lot in that game. There was so many chances that were near or where I kind of dropped in disbelief, and that was one of them. And I looked up and you just see people with heads on hands.
Especially that last 5 or 10 minutes after Antony's goal goes in. Like you said, it felt like one of those moments where a goal was just absolutely inevitable. The whole game seemed to have just sort of been building to that moment. And as soon as Antony's goal went in, football's such a funny game sometimes in the way that scripts and sort of patterns of a game can just be completely flipped in an instant. There was no reason.
Yeah. End of the first half, end of the second half, end of the first half of extra time, end of the second half of extra time. Ridiculous game. Ridiculous game.
There was no reason really for us to suddenly have Liverpool under the cosh like that. If anything, it makes sense when teams are under the cosh when they're holding on to a lead in the last 2 or 3 minutes. But logically, Liverpool should have been the ones going for the win there, having dominated most of the game. And yet football just doesn't work like that. And it was amazing to watch that. Like, I was absolutely convinced we were going to score from about 90 minutes until the end of stoppage time. And especially the angle that the camera was at, that where Rashford was running through watching on TV, you're looking directly down the line of the shot that he's taking, basically. And it felt in that moment like...
The touch is amazing.
The touch is unbelievably good. And he steadies himself. He's not falling off balance or anything. And watching it straight down the line from behind him, you're just like, oh my God, this is it. And when he missed, yeah. I was in disbelief when he missed. I really was.
Yeah, I remember looking across the Stretford End. I'm regular listeners, or no, I stand at the moment above the tunnel, so I can... It's a brilliant view, but also I love those moments where you get to look across kind of the rest of the Stretford End and you can see however many people it is, 15,000 or whatever, or 7,000, 8,000 in the lower tier. You can see, you can pick individuals out. And I looked across after I raised myself off the ground, and I've never seen a football stand like that where probably half the people there had hands on their heads. Just like, what has just happened? The final kick of the game. And yeah, you're right. The emotional roller coaster is more in that game. More peaks and troughs and higher peaks and lower troughs than I think in any other game I can remember. You get into extra time and just fantastic.
Just talk us through, like, obviously massively deflated after the Rashford miss. Did it feel like, before Liverpool's goal went in, did it feel like the crowd and the team had got it back, sort of had recovered from that, or was the stadium still really flat for most of the first half of extra time?
Yeah, I was being the annoying optimist as the players were preparing for extra time, saying to like my speechless brother and my speechless mate, go on, let's go again. We could talk about it after extra time. If United lose, feel free to talk about it, but they'll score one in extra time. And I'm not sure I believe that, but I was just saying, yeah, he'll score one extra time. Don't worry about it. And and then it was interesting. I think United's team talk before extra time lasted a lot longer than Liverpool's. And I remember Van Dijk berating the ref at one point for not speeding United up. And I don't know whether that was when Anthony got told he was playing at left back. I think that was actually at halftime of extra time. But I think that was what was so great about it is the third Liverpool goal comes. It's all much of a blur. What I loved is you're right in that United faded a lot in the second half, but then fought again at the end.
Yeah, big time.
But also Ten Hag's changes as well. It was this game was all about risk. And we spoke in the preview for this game that my concern, first of all, the concern about that belief not being there from the crowd, and they did well to start well to make sure that was there and get an early goal. They did everything we wanted of them. It was just the energy levels and intensity dropped off for the final 10 minutes and we paid for it against a very good team. But we also mentioned the Bayern Munich game, and United made such a meek Champions League exit, and there was no mistake like that this time. You had Bruno Fernandes at centre back, Anthony at left back, Harry Maguire up front, and the changes, Amad on for Varane in normal time? Amad on for Varane.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. There was never a backward step.
It was just before Anthony scored.
Yeah. Yeah. And Amad was fantastic long before his goal.
And it's funny looking back now, like thinking about it, if that sub happened, he came on about a minute and a half before Anthony scored. I reckon if that happens the other way around, if Anthony scores first, that sub doesn't happen, I don't think.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, but it was brilliant. Ten Hag embraced the chaos and he came out on top in this just ridiculous bout. and ultimately, he came out on top because this is what this United team is set up to do, for good or for bad. And this time it was for great. It's not like this is not a rare 4-3. This is a fourth 4-3 win for United in 6 months. It's unheard of.
And we've lost another game 4-3 as well in that time.
Yeah. But it's just, all the subs were brilliant in their own ways. And I loved Ten Hag's. I think I would have been, obviously the result dictates how you feel here. And the areas that we would have been really disappointed at would be how we fared in the second half, mainly how we gave away those two goals before half time, particularly the second. But there were other things, but ultimately two of Liverpool goals were deflected. I think even had we lost, I might have not have been saying it today when the hurt was there, but a couple of days down the line, I think I would have been pretty pleased with how Ten Hag handled that in team selection. And his tactics are mad. The way that this United team is set up is mad. And there's a reason that I think United's players looked so much more tired than Liverpool's.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're like United, particularly Bruno, who just gave everything, and what an incredible captain's performance from him. But United's players looked finished and Liverpool's looked tired, but not the same. And it's because of the way we played. And that's what left so many, that huge gap between defence and midfield is crazy. But in an FA Cup quarter final, why not?
Yeah, you mentioned Bruno Fernandes there. There are a lot of shortcomings in Bruno Fernandes's game and his character as a player. But the one thing that he is, well, I say always, actually, thinking back to last year, there are times when he's not, but most of the time, he is a fighter. And actually, seeing him take a little bit of a step back from being the one responsible for actually sort of pushing us forward on the pitch in terms of being like the playmaker, and just watching him do whatever was needed for that. I mean, he could barely walk after about five minutes of extra time, and somehow managed to finish the game. And after 122 minutes, he plucks a ball out of the sky, you know, makes a 10-yard run with it, wins a throw, and is then getting the crowd going again as if it needs to at 122 minutes after this game. It's just some of the things that he's able to sort of recover from. There's so many times throughout his United career when I look at him and I think, man, he's out on his feet. He's not going to be able to play for 2 weeks after this. And then 3 days later, he's playing 90 minutes again. It's crazy. And Garnacho
He'll probably be playing twice for Portugal now, won't he?
And Garnacho actually is another one on that same theme. The engine on him is...
He just runs and runs.
I mean, again, after...
Apparently had a hamstring injury.
I saw that. His brother tweeted it, didn't he? Even after we scored the fourth goal, we win the ball back in our own box. Anthony plays at the Garnacho. He makes a 60, 70-yard sprint into the corner and manages to keep the ball and play it back to Anthony. It's just, he never seems to tire.
Yeah, and you could see it where there's that kind of slight hesitation in the final 10 minutes where Garnacho's, his instinct is he has no energy left, and then something kicks in his brain and he goes, and it's like after just one final push, and then there were like 10 final pushes. It's what you want to see from United players is what from players of any team, whoever team you support, is that fight. And it was there from everyone, and Bruno just looked absolutely knackered at the end. Him and Rashford were walking off. There was a great moment. Dallo stopped. He was going down the tunnel. He was obviously enjoying it. And then he stopped like, I don't want to leave this. And he stood there for another 30 seconds singing, "We're all going to Wembley" with the fans. I think there's a video on Twitter of it. And it's just like, that was fantastic. And Dallo's energy, he was so high, so, so intensely high after that and pumped. Whereas Bruno and Rashford just walked off like, oh my God. And Bruno did an interview with MUTV after. And again, this is like the underappreciated things. Bruno puts in that captain's performance, injured and doing everything, and then goes and does four or five different interviews, probably in a couple of different languages. He must just get home and just be destroyed. But he said in his MUTV interview, we barely had energy to celebrate in the dressing room after.
We end up the game, everyone in the dressing room was dead. We couldn't do anything more. We couldn't even shout to celebrate. It was so hard to get that shout of happiness out, but we did what we had to do and win the FA Cup.
You just thought, fair play. Harry Maguire, we could go through so many players. Harry Maguire, immense, won everything. Anthony and Ahmad's goals and work rate, fantastic. We'll talk a bit more about Ahmad later in the episode when we talk about what this means going forward. Mason Mount came on. I was so happy for him. A player who's a United fan, gets this dream move to his club. There's so much pressure on him, then gets all these injuries. And it's been really annoying that he's not been available, but it's not his fault. Works hard to get back under all this pressure, and he manages to come back and play and contribute to this game. He must just be he must be so high after. It's such a hard thing being an injured footballer. It can be so, like, so boring, and you get detached from the rest of the squad, from your mates, and you feel like you're not contributing. It's a tough mental challenge to then be able to have that moment. I'm buzzing for Mount, and hopefully this is the start of him being available for the rest of the season and a really valuable player for the team while Bruno recovers from that.
I mean, it was a bit of a story of forgotten and maybe ridiculed players kind of stepping up in a very sort of unexpected way, really. You know, McTominay and Rashford, well, McTominay this season at least has done that plenty of times, but has been ridiculed a lot in the past. And then in Antony and Ahmad, two of the most unlikely goal scorers you could imagine, really. And yeah, as you said, Maguire, immense. Mason Mount did well when he came on. And like I said, I can't imagine how isolating it must be to be a new player at a new club and to be injured for most of your first 6-8 months there. You know, it's a little bit easier when you're already established at a club. You sort of are a bit more comfortable in your surroundings. You have more embedded relationships with players. But at a new club, which already can be quite an isolating thing, you know, trying to, especially for someone like Mount, who's only ever been at one club his whole career before this, to then come in and be on the treatment table for so long, this is really, really difficult. And this has got to be a huge moment for him in his United career, as it is for all of the players that were involved. Like you said, we could go through almost every player on the team and say whether
Colby
or not.
Minor.
Yeah, well, yeah, Colby Minor, we need to talk more in depth about. But before we talk about him in real depth, I just want to say, like, I think there's a lot we could probably say, and to be honest, be fairly critical at times of some of the actual performances of those players. But as we've said so many times, the bare minimum and what we expect for any Man United team is effort, caring for the badge, playing for the club, playing for the fans. I'm not sure I've ever seen a United team dig as deep as what this team did 2 or 3 times over in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everything you want to see. And even just from a wider point, it's everything you want to see in a football match. And what an amazing FA Cup weekend.
Yeah, 100%. I was just thinking as we were talking earlier about the mood after Rashford misses the chance at the end of normal time. It's such a great advert, I guess, of why knockout football is brilliant. Because could you imagine if that was a league game and everyone just went home after a 2-2 draw?
It's very true. And then that must be the latest goal in United history.
Yeah, it's got to be right up there. It was like, what, 120 minutes and like 10 seconds or something?
Yeah, typical United counter-attack, assisted by an academy graduate, a young player scoring it, two other academy players scoring. It just, yeah.
And an academy player that cleared the corner to start with too. Yeah.
Should we talk the winning goal to wrap up?
What was mad for me, sorry, just quickly, what was mad for me watching was, I've since rewatched it on ITV and this didn't happen on ITV. Somehow in all the chaos, the clock stopped on ESPN watching in the States. So I'm watching the last like 2 or 3 minutes after the goal goes in, got no idea on added time. And the clock is at 120 and 13 seconds. For the rest of the game. And so I'm there streaming, like, I don't know how long, and I've never felt so out of the loop of information, because normally you have an amount of time that you're sort of counting down to, but I had no idea. And it just felt like those last, it's probably only 90 seconds or so that the ball was back in play after we scored, felt like 10 minutes.
It felt so long. I couldn't believe, I've watched the game back this morning, which was an absolute joy. And I think there's about 2 minutes after Ahmad scores, which is how they've plucked 4 minutes added time out of a 15-minute half. I don't know, given there was 4 minutes for...
Did the board... I don't even think the board ever went up, did it?
No idea. There's so many things I missed on the day that... I don't even remember Ten Hag going down the tunnel. So much missed. So much of it's a blur. But that felt like an absolute eternity. The celebrations for that goal, well, stick with me for the rest of my life.
How does that compare to, is there any other goal that has ever been celebrated like that in your experience at Old Trafford?
No. Just utter disbelief. I was standing on the edge of a row and first of all, just like just charging to hugging like my brother and my mates and any random strangers. And then just this urge to, I just needed to like run a bit. So I just sprinted down the stairs and up the stairs for a bit and then back into my row. And yeah, makes you do very, very silly things. That buzz just lasted for so, so long. I'm trying to remember there was a game recently where we had Brentford. I remember the Brentford 2-1 win where McTominay scores back in October.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember being in the pub after, and I think about half an hour, 45 minutes after full time, I felt I could literally feel the adrenaline kind of run out and leave my body. And suddenly was like, oh, whereas I don't think it's left. I don't think it's left yet. I've just still on a massive, massive buzz nearly 24 hours on.
I've never felt adrenaline go through my body the way it did after Rashford's chance.
Yeah, yeah.
Weirdly, like watching it at home, like I said, you never quite as intense as it is watching, obviously, in a stadium, but even at like a pub or something. After Rashford missed the chance, I was like, my body was shaking for most of the gap between normal time ending and extra time starting. I felt like I think it's because the emotions had been so high throughout the game. It wasn't just the end. I'd been up, down, in like so up and so down at different parts of the game. And I felt my body almost saying like, what's going on here? And I can't even imagine what that must have been like for you in the ground.
No, I don't know if I can describe it. Yeah. Yeah. You then just come out absolutely bouncing. And then we stayed in for ages until it was almost empty. I just was soaking it all up. At one point when most people still left in the ground, about probably like 4 or 5 minutes after the end of the game, I just sat down and kind of just listened for 30 seconds just to have a slight breather and just soaking it all in. But then someone said we'd got Chelsea in the semi-final while we were in the ground. So we've fuck's sake, of course City have got Coventry. And then we came out the ground, still celebrating, went over Stretford End Bridge and then still thinking we had Chelsea. And then suddenly heard like a kid say, oh, we've got Coventry. Couldn't get any signal to like see whether who we'd actually got. And by this, we could have had City as well. By this point, people had said we had two different teams, so we could have had City as well. Finally, found out we had Coventry. And then
they say we've got Coventry.
Yeah!
We got Coventry. They all said we got Coventry.
Yeah. We get Coventry.
Oh, no, I don't know. Who said we had
Chelsea? Yeah, you just get another buzz, started running down the street again and then straight into the pub. And yeah, I genuinely, normally the buzz wears off like an hour or so after and you can lose that energy.
Yeah.
But I'm just absolutely flying still. As I said, when we were walking down Railway Road, which runs parallel to Old Trafford. Like the world seems so colourful today. Everything just seemed, beautiful, beautiful. And then the sun was shining in Manchester this morning. I assume it was raining in Liverpool, which would only be right. On the goal, it shouldn't be underappreciated. The combination of fearlessness from those two kids and composure in that moment is astonishing.
Yeah, I'm literally, as you were talking there, I was watching it back. And firstly, are two underappreciated parts of it, I think. Firstly, Garnacho's first couple of touches, incredibly good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the ball bounces really nicely for him. It's in his stride, but it would have been very easy with a bouncing ball in the 120th minute to, you know, not quite put that ball in front of you, miscontrol it, slow down the attack, allow a couple of Liverpool players to get back and catch up with you. But the first touch in particular on his left foot and a bouncing ball, he just kind of lays it down and it's perfectly rolling on the floor after that. And then you're away. Very, very good. And then the second part is, I don't think Garnacho's pass to Ahmed is very good. And watching it at the time, I thought the chance had almost gone because it was a little bit, it wasn't behind Ahmed, but it wasn't as in front of him as you'd want it. Made it fairly easy for Bradley to both block the pass back to Garnacho and close down Ahmed. And Ahmed does so well to, he sort of slows down a little bit and then accelerates again as
there's
touch.
A drop of the shoulder.
Yeah.
Which changes it all because that puts, Conor Bradley has to change what side he's put his weight on. And then Ahmed drops the shoulder to go inside very, very slightly and then pushes out to his left. And then he has the space to find the shot. And
what a finish.
There's about a 5-inch space where that shot can go. and he finds it.
Because Keller does everything right as a keeper. His position's very good. There's not...
Yeah,
there's
I actually think both Bradley and Keller do everything right.
Yeah.
And that's how good it is from Ahmad.
Yeah, it's such a good finish to roll it into the corner there.
It's a good line in a piece I've just been sent by someone that says, with Ahmad's final flourish, it was as though this game had unmoored itself from reality. Some fans barely knew where they were any longer, but they wore the manic smiles of people who had savoured perhaps the finest FA Cup vintage of all. I thought that was a fair summary. It is, it's like you've been dropped or just, yeah, it is unmoored from reality. You just... such a sensitive what a fucking magic thing for football is. How can it do that to you?
It is without a doubt, that's one of the best games and obviously wins Old Trafford has ever seen, without a shadow of a doubt.
In Rashford's interview with ITV after, he says, like, this is a big night in United's history. And I don't think he's quite meaning it like that, but you do think, yeah, like, I think what's, like, we had a message from Tony Ryan, one of our patrons before, saying his kind of the game he really remembers is Barca 84. And I think Barca 84 is the one that kind of everyone of that generation picks out and remembers as the most incredible Old Trafford atmosphere. And I think for me, it's the McTominay moment was fantastic. The win against City was fantastic last year, the win against Liverpool. But you get all the Reds talking about Barca 84 or Liverpool in 99 or Owen's winner against City or Rooney's winner against City. And it's like, I now feel like I have my moment that the raw noise and the kind of flailing limbs and those moments of like complete delirium will stay with me for the rest of my life. And I will talk about this game basically until I die. You wait like a decade for games like these to come around.
It's unbelievable. It really is. It reminds me of just, I just think about this and at times it's hard to appreciate in the moment what a game means. And I think we all recognise what this means now, but I think a couple of years from now, we'll probably look back on it even more fondly than we do now, if that's even possible. You know, and I think the fact that it's an FA Cup game makes it even better as well. I don't think it's any real surprise that most of the ones that you went through there were in the Cup. There was a couple of league ones in there against City, but the fact that it's a Cup game too just makes it feel all the sweeter because the prize is so obvious. And, you know, you win the game, it's done. There's no sort of second bite of the cherry. And obviously, if we don't go on to win the FA Cup, I wouldn't take any of the shine off it. It would just be a bonus if we then went on to win the FA Cup on top of it as well. But I think the fact that it was a knockout game just raised the stakes of this game and makes the feeling of winning it even sweeter than it could possibly have been already.
Cup football is fucking magic.
As you texted me this morning, I thought my penalties prediction was going to come true. I was about to text you. As the game was ending, I had my phone in my hand about to text you, say, I hope your heart's okay going into this penalty shootout. And I'm so glad we never got there.
There were no penalties, but my heart was not okay. We're gonna go into an ad break and a bonus Q&A for our patrons, and then we'll talk more about what this means going forward and a bit about Kobbie Mainoo. We'll talk about what it means and Coventry next and all of that after the ads and a Q&A for our patrons.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We've just been talking in the Patreon Q&A about the power of sport to all of these incredible individual moments in individual lives. And yeah, it's just what an amazing, amazing thing. I remembered as we were talking about that, you said, what was it kind of like in the ground? And I think one of my favourite moments was seeing Willie Kambwala, who I interviewed and have chatted to a couple of times since. If people listen to the episode where I spoke about what he was like and played a couple of clips, I was talking to him about the Boxing Day game where we beat Villa 3-2 to come from behind. And the way he spoke about that game, and he said the pitch was shaking, like you could see the buzz come back from that game when he was talking about it. And I Roba looking down on Sunday and seeing Willy Kambala like deep in the celebrations and then absolutely buzzing at full time, Ten Hag giving him a hug. And it's when you think of it like that, and that was such a great like moment for me, looking down and thinking like that kid loves United. And gets to have that. He didn't play, but gets to have that amazing, amazing experience. And yeah, I'm buzzing for the players. What does it mean going forward? United are in an FA Cup semi-final. It's fantastic. Chance of silverware still for a season that could have petered out, as we've spoken about. United got Coventry. What a ridiculous game that they had as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great FA Cup weekend, to be honest. The only game that really disappointed was City against Newcastle. Everything else was...
Of course. The nation state
brilliant.
Meeting.
Well, yeah. Everything else was absolutely brilliant to watch. Seeing Coventry win, I watched
great, isn't it?
the whole second half of that game, and I felt really, I actually felt really sad when Wolves scored their second goal, thinking that it was just going to be another sort of Premier League team. Not obviously that Wolves aren't a traditional sort of top six side, but another Premier League team getting through, and Coventry had done so much good during the game, and then watching them come back was absolutely brilliant. And to be fair, as I tweeted after they won, I would have bet my life savings on City drawing Coventry in the semi-final. Yeah. And I won't pretend to not be pleased about the fact that we've drawn them instead. I mean, it's a massive opportunity for us now. And look, I remember thinking, I said earlier how frustrated I was in sort of the middle of the second half of this game. I remember thinking at about 70 minutes that there was a moment where they panned to Dave Brailsford in the crowd and I was like, Ten Hag's gone. There's no way you can be watching this game and think that Ten Hag is the right man to lead this forward. And yet, as football does, it flips so quickly. And look, I don't really think anything from this game changes the bigger picture about Ten Hag. I don't think it suddenly makes him a really good manager. I don't think that losing this game would have suddenly made him a really bad manager. I think he's made good decisions today. But
winning trophies does change.
Yeah, exactly.
Things.
And that is what ultimately he has to be focused on. And it's what made this such a big game, not just for our season, but also for his future as well. And, you know, you get a slice of luck, obviously, now drawing Coventry too, but also you just got past Liverpool in the quarterfinals. So, you know, you make some of that luck through getting this. And the one thing I'll say is, sorry, before you go on, the tactical side of it, I don't think we can read too much into this game, but I do have full respect for the fact that, as you mentioned earlier, he fucking went for it.
What a United manager should do.
And he didn't do that against Bayern earlier in the season, and I'm so pleased that he did today. Or yesterday.
Exactly. It's not that Coventry will be easy, but it's more that if you can't beat Coventry, then you don't deserve to be. If as Man United you can't beat Coventry, you don't deserve to be in the FA Cup final. So that has to be the player's attitude. And will be my attitude. Coventry are a tough team. It was Bruno Fernandes was talking in one of his interviews that he said he's watched Coventry quite a lot because his chef at home is a Sunderland fan. So he sat and watched some championship games with him. And he said, yeah, some very good players who are really good on the ball. They do have some good players. It'll be hard. I'm delighted for Mark Robbins. And yeah, it's all about narratives in football, isn't it? And under pressure manager in Ten Hag going up against Mark Robbins, the man who supposedly saves Alex's job, although that's not quite true, but is partly true, is, yeah, that's narrative. And it's nice to replace the soppy Klopp farewell tour that has drawn so much attention. So I'm really looking forward to the semi-final.
And this shitty narrative that they're chasing the quadruple.
Yeah.
Any quadruple with the Europa League in it, It's not a quadruple.
Yeah, it would be very impressive, but it's not. It's not quite the same. There are lots of things to be. I think tactically, there's less. You can't analyse a game like that too much. But Kobbie Mainoo's performance, we do need to talk about. For an 18-year-old to play like that, it's always weird in extra time, isn't it? Because with games that go to extra time, because choosing a man of the match is so hard. I think in normal time, United's man of the match would be Kobbie Mainoo, but over the whole game for his impact, not just in scoring, but the way he defended as well as won the ball and kept things calm and passed well, I think was Ahmad. I know they just gave it to him because he scored, but actually I think his full impact as soon as he came on was really, really good. So I understand why Ahmad gets it. But in normal time, Kobbie Mainoo was just so good. He It's like the serenity he plays with. There was a good line from Daniel Storey who said, Kobbie Mainoo is carrying United's playground midfield. And it does feel like that United plays, we play in kind of next goal wins playground football. But there's this kind of oasis of calm in Kobbie Mainoo in the middle. Just great feet, some lovely passes. And we're starting to see, I think I said, we've discussed this a few times, I said his debut more than a year ago against Charlton was solid, but very simple. And every game, it's like he's unleashed a little bit more of his ability. And we're seeing more and more that ability to beat players. He beat three players at one point with a lovely bit of skill and McTominay should have scored. It's, yeah, what a great player.
Yeah, it's a great point you raised there that he's showcasing more of himself every week. Because you're right, when
Dave Brailsford must be loving it. It's the 1% marginal gains every week.
Yeah. Even forgetting his debut, like even just from his first game of this season against Everton, he was excellent that day. But it wasn't showing that side of his game. It was more his passing range, his ability to stay calm on the ball, all things that he's still producing now, week in, week out. But slowly you're starting to see more of that just sort of raw talent and raw ability on the ball. The Wolves game was the first time I think he really started to show that really well. Not just obviously the goal at the end where he makes the, I can't remember which Wolves defender it was, but and slots it in the bottom corner. But even before that, there was a number of times during the game where he'd shift the ball and maneuver out of tight spaces really, really well. His feet are outrageous, Harry. They really are. And I'm not even just saying that for an 18-year-old. For any player, his ability to shift the ball quickly, it was the first like 30 seconds of the game. He gets given a really quite terrible pass from, I think it might have been Dalot. He's under pressure from three Liverpool players, manages to somehow wriggle out of it, play a good ball out to Garnacho. After about 2 or 3 minutes, he dances through as well and ends up, pulls it back, and Wan-Bissaka ends up taking the shot when it should have been left for McTominay. I think the one that you're talking about where he gets past, I think it's Gomez and maybe McAllister out on Liverpool's right-hand side, and then Rashford ends up taking over and pulling it across. It's just, he's a joy to watch.
Idol growing up?
Who was it?
Ronaldinho. You can see it in the
Yeah,
feet.
You really can.
I think we spoke about this fairly recently where I was saying it's really interesting seeing the influence, the influence of Cristiano Ronaldo's mentality on this generation of players. So for Højlund and Garnacho in particular, and there's, you're starting to see it more and more as these players are coming through who are influenced by both Ronaldo and Messi. But I love it when you hear who a player's idol is and you go, ah, that makes sense. And this generation is particularly weird because it's the kind of, well, that you've kind of had it for five years or so, but like the YouTube, the generation who grew up watching compilation videos on YouTube. And Kobbie said he used to watch Ronaldinho on YouTube all the time. And it's like, they're not similar players, but in the kind of joy that he can bring with his footwork, you think if he can keep doing that and improve and learn how to create the space and the opportunities to do it as Ronaldinho did so much, then you can see like, oh, that's what he took from all of that. And yeah, I find it really fascinating to know which players influenced players, and can you see that in their game? And I think you can with Kobbie in certain moments.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, you can see in Garnacho big time as well.
I mean, he's just trying to copy him entirely.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch at times because you can really see that kind of personality coming out in the way that they play on the pitch. I mean, Kobbie Mainoo being a Ronaldinho disciple is also unsurprising to hear given the way that he manoeuvres the ball around the pitch. He feels like almost a combination of some of the midfield in that Barcelona team with like Ronaldinho and Xavi kind of mixed together.
Careful now.
Hyping him up or anything there. But yeah, it's fun to see, you know, players that have been moulded to some degree by their idols. And there is a whole generation, especially of United fans in particular, that when they were kids, all they wanted to do was play like Ronaldo and play like Rooney. And you kind of see that in the way that it comes out.
Yeah, and it's because you asked the class of 92 and like, for example, Gary Neville, his hero was Brian Robson. And you could see that in not in his style of play at all, but in his intensity and mentality. And Brian Robson was, I remember we seem to be speaking about Brian Robson every week. there was a cool moment where you saw him and Graeme Souness chatting on the touchline at the game. And I'm sure fans of an older generation would have enjoyed that. But I did as well. I remember when I was researching the feature I did on Robson a couple of years back, I was finding quotes about him from other people. And I ended up with this list of about 40 quotes from 40 odd different people. Gary Lineker, Gary Neville, David Beckham, anyone in English football who grew up watching Robson, he was their hero, even if they didn't support United. It, like, his impact on the generation that came through in the 90s is incredible. And Ronaldo to an even greater extent now and on a global level. Yeah, it's fascinating. In terms of what else it means going forward, Mount being back is fantastic. Wan-Bissaka did so well to come into that game. You've got Antony and Ahmad having these great moments that will give them confidence. It's all good, isn't it? These games can change the season, but how many times have we had this opportunity to have a turning point for our season, and how many times has it basically gone down the pan? A lot of the times that's been injuries' fault, but also there's tactics in certain league games, and a nice like couple of weeks to just enjoy this, and then they'll come back from the international break and hopefully go on a bit of a run.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I actually think the fact that there's an international break now is really good for these players, not only because they can have a little bit of a rest, albeit a lot of them will still play significant minutes for their country, but I actually think just some time to almost recover from the emotional toll of this game. Like sometimes
and,
after
and just and quite a few weeks of on back to back. If you go back to, I mean, they've barely had a break,
yeah.
But you go back to like this period to me feels like it started at Anfield with the 0-0, and then you have the like the downs of losing to Fulham much later, but West Ham away just before Christmas, then that huge high of the Villa game, the defeat to Forest away is another big down, then you have an all right draw to Spurs. There was a bit of a break there,
yeah.
And then again up and down, up and down, up and down. We talk about emotional rollercoaster in this game, but for months it's just been this up and down,
and that emotional toll, it has its impact on the players, and there's only so many times in a season you can sort of drag yourself up after a really terrible performance, or sort of bring yourself back down to a level that's controllable after an amazing performance, an amazing win like this, to come back to a normal level to play in a sort of more regular game. And I actually think an international break is just what we need. It'd be awful to go into an international break off the back of a defeat in this kind of manner, which, you know, sorry to Liverpool fans dealing with that, but I think for us it's kind of perfect for this team to have a great feeling going into an international break, get some rest and emotionally kind of recover to come back and really attack the last part of the season. I mean, it was a great weekend for United, not only in the FA Cup, but Spurs losing, Villa drawing as well. Look, top four is still a long way off. Even fifth at this point is still a long way off. Spurs beating Villa last weekend did us no favours, but you couldn't have asked for any more really from this weekend. And if any result is ever going to spur this United team to become a little bit more consistent and put a run of results together, you've got to think it was this.
Absolutely. We're going to wrap up. No academy briefing, just a short note. The under-18s came from behind to beat Blackburn Rovers 5-2. Four goals from 16-year-old Bendito Mantato, who's a real talent. He's been playing sometimes at left-back, sometimes on the wing. He is more naturally a forward. He's very highly rated and a very good win for the under-18s, who are 10 points clear at the top of their league now. Anything else? United women won 2-0 as well. So a very good week for the club all round. The under-21s are playing on Monday night away at West Brom after we record, so you can check Twitter or some kind of website, or you'll find the result in my newsletter, which I've been doing every week, which you can sign up to at harryrobinson.substack.com. Anything else before we wrap up? We could go and talk about this game. I will be talking about this game for the rest of my life, but there's only so much space on my laptop.
Yeah, trust me, I'm sure this will be getting referenced pretty much every podcast episode for the rest of the season, so don't worry
absolutely.
About that. I was going to say, I think the academy briefing could almost have just been watch this game.
Yeah.
I mean, McTominay, Rashford scoring, Garnacho with an assist as well. McTominay cleared the ball in the build up to that last goal.
Yeah.
Kobbie Mainoo's brilliant performance. It's just fun to see the academy still having such a huge imprint on this team and this football club.
Yeah. Lisandro Martinez to come back after the internationals. Things are looking up.
Is he supposed to be back immediately after?
Some suggestion. He's going to finish his recovery with Argentina. Some suggesting he could be back for the Brentford game. We'll see. Who knows? But
wow.
No need to rush him back. I wouldn't do that. The key for him is to be fully fit for next season. or for, well, yeah, for the FA Cup semi-final would be great, but we don't need to rush him yet. You know, if you can find Jack on Twitter for his more reaction throughout the week at
UTD Tate, T-A-I-T.
And you can find me at Harry Robinson 64 on the podcast at UTD Weekly Pod. And I'm going to leave you with the words of one Alejandro Garnacho. I love this football club. Goodbye.
Podcast Network.